Right to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at a few verses. We will begin in verse 10. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to know, every time that I prepare a message, I endeavor, first and foremost, to give you the truth, to not misuse Scripture, to not insert assumptions that are not accurate, in fact, not to insert assumptions at all, but to tell you what the Bible means, and trying to err on the side of safety, sometimes we might miss some things that are there. I think that no matter how hard you try, you're going to do some of that. But I really, I want you to know, it's very important that what is preached and taught in a local church be consistent with the Word of God. And we are to be like the Bereans, that when Paul preached to them, they searched the Scriptures and validated what he had said. And you need to know your Bible well enough to be able to do that. And when I preach, and if I make an assumption or whatever, it's not an assumption. It's based on something else in the Word of God. Colossians is not an easy book. There's a lot of material there. It's not an easy book to preach because there are some very deep thoughts, some deep things of God that can be found in this book. I'm going to show you something in chapter 2 and verse 10 that at first glance you can read it, and as powerful as it sounds, it's hard for us to get our arms around it and understand what it's all about. And it's a difficult thing, perhaps. Context has a lot to do with the meaning. He says in verse 10, ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in him. Now, he just finished using that word in a different way in verse 9. He says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that word complete has to do with being full, not having anything missing. In the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9, there is nothing in the Godhead that's absent from the Lord Jesus Christ. That immediately throws out the window a lot of the teachings of the cults, because the cults teach that Christ is somehow a lesser God, or that he had, the Mormons, for example, teach that he had sinned and he had to be saved just like we do. That's wicked. In the beginning was God, John 1:1, and in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In verse 10, when he says, ye are complete in him, I look for an illustration, and the word complete, it just means nothing is missing. A couple of weeks ago, the grandkids were over at the house, and we were going through some old board games. And probably everybody here has some board games with pieces missing. And you can't quite play the game because not everything's there, or you substituted something so you could play the game. Well, we have the nightmare of all board games. It's called Lego Builder. If you've ever seen it, it's got about 100 little tiny pieces. I'm talking about stuff that's so small I can't hardly pick it up. And they all are supposed to be there. And if every piece is there, when you get ready to play the game, then the game goes well. And we got that thing out, and I couldn't believe it. It was all there. Now, Titus has been in my house, so now I don't know. But at least a few weeks ago, when we got the game out, it was all there. And I endeavored to try to put it all away as best I could. Probably something got left in the carpet, but nothing missing, absolutely everything. Now, let me read the verse again. He says in verse 10, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're going to see that in verse 15, he mentions principality and power again. And let me just ring that word principality out to you a little bit, and we'll have a word of prayer. Principality has the idea of being we use the word in school, a principal, or there might be a principal ruler. Principal meaning something that comes first, something that is over other things. Folks, there's nothing over the Lord Jesus Christ. He has absolute authority. And we are complete in him. And I can tell you that in verse 10, one of the thoughts is this. Nobody can say differently. He has absolute final say in the matter. You are complete in him. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll try and show you a few things about this tonight. Father, we thank you. Lord, we don't understand a lot of things that we see here. We thank you for the things we do understand, that because of Christ, there's nothing missing in our life. Because of Christ, there's nothing missing in our salvation. And only in Christ can those things be found. There's no human philosophy, no other God, no other place, no other teaching, no other book. But in Christ, everything is present. There's nothing missing. And because we are in Christ, we are complete as well. I pray you'd help us just to understand, first of all, what that means, and then how it can impact us, how it affects the way we live, the way we think, the way we pray, the way we serve. And Lord, I ask you, please give these folks a blessing tonight from the Word of God, directly from the Word of God, and be a comfort to us and be a strength to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. He launches out with this thought in verse 10. You are complete in him. I'm going to read the rest of these verses here, and we'll kind of try and tie this together a little bit. He says in verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In Christ, anything that we need can be supplied by him. In Christ, anything that is missing with us is present in him. In Christ, everything is in him. There's nothing outside of him. I realize we do not think of ourselves as being strong. We do not think of ourselves as being holy. In and of ourselves, we are none of those things. But in Christ, all those things are present. I was trying to think of a good illustration for this, and all I could think of was Deborah has a sister, and her name is Donna. She's visited our church a couple of times when they've been in town, and we go visit them in Texas every now and then. We stayed with them in January when I preached my wife's mother's funeral. And this lady is one of the most organized people I've ever met in my life. If you go somewhere, anything you need, she's got it. You know, if you need Kleenex, she's got it. You need sunscreen, she's got it. You know, you need a cup, she's got it. You need something to drink, water, whatever, ice, she's got it. She's the most prepared person I've ever met in my life. And we used to go to picnics when we lived there parades. We lived there in Texas near them. We'd show up at the parade. It would be my wife and I and our children. And, you know, we'd bring some chairs and a few things. But inevitably, we wind up with them. If we needed something, we knew they had it. So it just gave you a sense of peace that, you know, if we forget to bring Kleenex, that's okay. Donna will have Kleenex. Or if we forget to bring water, she'll have water or whatever. And because of her, needs were met. Now, this is overwhelming if you can get your arms around it. Folks, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are, and do not miss this, look at it, he says in verse 10, in him. He says in verse 11, in whom? He says in verse 12, with him. Twice he says that. In verse 13, he says with him. Because we are in him, only because we are in him, every need is met. Your needs for salvation, The things you need to find the truth, the things you need to serve God, the things you need as you live life in God's presence, and the things you'll need for all eternity. And I keep using the word need. It's not just needs. It's just everything. We are complete in Him. Folks, outside of Him, there is nothing. Sadly, there has been a teaching that has been around now for a long time, but at least 100 years, more than 100 years. It's called inclusivism. You probably never heard the term. If you have, anyway, inclusivism and exclusivism. They're contrasting ideas. Exclusivism says what the Bible says. There is no salvation in anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, exclusively, we are saved in Him. Inclusivism has the idea that there are other ways to be saved. And sadly, some very famous Christians who had very big followings have made statements like this. One man said, well, we think that some of the Muslims can be saved even though they never did know about Christ. Or that some of the Buddhists can be saved. Or that some of the other people in the world that never, ever, ever knew about Christ because they tried, or they were good people, or they were trying to reach God some other way. Folks, there's no salvation outside of Christ. Amen? We in Him, we are complete. Only in Him. Could I ask ourselves the question, and don't let me lose you here. I don't care. Everybody in the room, listen to me right now. Young, old, in the middle, listen to what I'm about to say. Ask yourself this question. Who is Christ in your life? What is His place? Who is Christ in your life? You see, the statement is, ye are complete in Him. John, 1 John is filled with that phrase, in Him. He said, except ye abide in me, in John 15. It's being in Him. To be in Him is to have Him surrounding you, Him as your primary reference point. You wake up in the morning with Him on your mind. You go to bed the same way. In Him, you abide in Him. You live in Him. He's your authority. I hope He's your authority. Amen? When you're in Him, then where He goes, you go. What He desires, you desire. He's also, He should be, and I'm going to use this for alliteration's sake, an associate, but let me use the word companion. He's not just our authority. He's our closest companion. Folks, when nobody else is there, He's there. He promised He'd never leave us or forsake us. Amen? When you received the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not a temporary reception. It was not a coming and going kind of a thing. It's a permanent reception. He promised He would never leave you. Do you realize that? Do you practice that? Who is Christ in your life? Is He an abode? The place where you live all of the time, abiding in Him. If He is, then when you are in Him, nothing is missing. Now, I did a lot of reading in trying to understand why this was so important for Paul to tell to the Colossians. And a certain amount of it was doctrinal in nature. What I mean by that is there were some people that were teaching the Colossians false doctrine. And the foundation of the false doctrine was this. Just listen, hear me out. The false teacher would say this: we're so glad you got saved. We're so glad you've received Christ. Now you need to do this and this and this and this. Now you need to add to that. And again, just stay with me. In other words, you're still missing some things. Folks, when you're in Christ, you're not missing anything.
That's right. Amen.
When you are in Christ, everything that you need is completely there. You are complete in Him, and there is no unmet need. There is no additional philosophy. There is no other satisfaction. Some people that get saved, they miss it, and they start looking elsewhere for satisfaction. Folks, if Christ won't satisfy you, nothing will. And oh, by the way, when you try and satisfy the flesh, Listen to me. Listen to me, teenagers. When you try, young people are inclined to experience things. We would like to know what it feels like to do this or to be that or whatever. And it's called flesh. And when you, as a young person, when you seek satisfaction through the flesh, I can save you a whole lot of time. Read Ecclesiastes, and Solomon will tell you the details, but you cannot be satisfied by feeding the flesh. You give the flesh anything you want, it's going to want more. You give the flesh a substance, a narcotic or alcohol or whatever, it's going to want more. You give the flesh pleasure, it's going to want more. You think, wow, if I did that, I would be happy. You won't. You're going to want more because the flesh cannot be satisfied. But folks, in Christ, we are complete. There is satisfaction in Christ. You're going to find some satisfied people. Find people that have learned how to abide in Him. When we are in Him, nothing is missing. Nobody has anything we need except Christ. We do not need to seek any other authority. The last half of verse 10, talking about authority. There is no higher authority than Jesus. Just referring back, and I won't look at it, but in verse 3, he talks about wisdom and knowledge. Outside of Christ, there's no wisdom, there's no knowledge. In verse 11, and this is comforting, and this is also powerful, folks, he says in verse 11, in whom ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and he just explains it to you right there, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. There is no other source of cleansing. From time to time, you come across people and they'll say this, I'm going to clean myself up, then I'll get saved. No, you won't, and no, you won't. You cannot clean yourself up. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one that separated you from your sins. And folks, as far as the East is from the West, amen? Amen? And not only that, but there is a cleansing He can do in your life that nobody else can do. If you make the mistake of leaving Christ out of those plans that you have for walking closer to God, for living a more godly life, for taking sin away from your life, if you forget and you leave Christ out of all that, I just want you to know you're going to fail. But in Him, we are complete. He can do what nobody else can do. He can cleanse us. Amen? The Bible says in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is, in the Christian, there is a desire to be righteous. And it is a desire that is frustrated because we live in the flesh. But that does not mean that we have sin that abides with us anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ has separated that from us. The illustration used here is circumcision. He says in verse 12, he says that we are risen with Him. There's no other source of resurrection. There's no other life outside of Him. Folks, He is our life. John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let me just assume for the sake of argument that somebody disagrees with that notion. And perhaps somebody doesn't understand how to find those things in Christ, and so they've launched out in another direction. And maybe they're going to try, I don't know, they're going to try fame. People seem to think if a lot of folks liked them, that they would be happy. Or maybe they're going to try luxury. If they had a whole lot of possessions, folks seem to think if you had a whole lot of possessions, you would be happy. Or wealth. Or power. People seem to think if they had a lot of power over other people, that they would be happy. I can save you some time once again. Remember that fellow named Solomon? Richest man that ever lived. Incredibly wise because God gave him wisdom. He did make some foolish mistakes at the end of his life, but that's neither here nor there right now. Wealthy, powerful. He was the king. He could do anything he wanted. He could experience anything he wanted. He had many, many wives, many more than he needed for sure. Not trying to be funny, seriously. He had everything he could want. And you know what Solomon said? All is vanity and vexation of spirit. You and I will never have what he had. You can work as hard as you want for your entire life. You can do anything you want. You can put every ounce of effort that you are able to muster into getting things. You'll never even come close to what Solomon had. And Solomon said, I just want to save you some time. He said, listen to me. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Don't waste your time. He said, let's hear the end of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Interesting. Amen. In Christ, we are complete. Outside of Christ, anywhere you look, you're going to come up shorthanded or empty. No other source of resurrection, no other source of life, no other source of forgiveness. In verse 13 and 14, and he kind of finishes with this thought. He says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened, that means made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And this is simple, but it's exciting. Listen to me. When Jesus says, you are forgiven, you are forgiven.
Amen.
Amen? No other being, no other intelligent being, no other created being, no angel, no demon, no man, nobody else has that authority to say, you are forgiven, and it is true. That's pretty complete, amen? And can he forgive you for all sins? Someone says, well, there are certain sins that can't be forgiven. I disagree, because Jesus has all authority. And so when he says all means all, that's all means, amen? He died for our sins, all of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Let me finish quickly. Nobody outside of Christ has his authority, his wisdom, his cleansing, his resurrection, his forgiveness. You don't need anything from anybody else in order to serve God. You do not need anybody else. There's nobody else that can assist you in maintaining, or for that matter, improving upon your salvation. It is complete. And I like this last statement, and I'm out of time, so I got to skip over a couple of things. But look at verse 15. Let me just finish up right there real quick. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And it refers to verse 14, in the cross. Now, remember Daniel? When Daniel was accused of he was praying to God, and the magistrates there in the land tricked the king into signing a law that says you can't talk to anybody, but you can't pray to anybody but the king. So Daniel goes and he opens the windows and he prays like he always did. And they arrest him, and the king's very unhappy about this because the king has been tricked, but they arrest him. And now what they're going to do is they're going to throw him in the lion's den because he prayed, and that broke the law. And the rule was the law couldn't be changed. Folks, by the way, God's law cannot be changed. And so Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. But isn't it great how God's always got an answer?
Amen.
These fellows, they schemed and they plotted and they had it all figured out. They tricked the king. They wrote the law. They caught Daniel. They had him condemned and thrown in the lion's den. But you just can't outdo God. I don't know what people think they're going to do to outdo God, but I can tell you they're wrong. And the next day, they open up the pit, and there's Daniel. And the lions fasted all night long. And it wasn't that they weren't hungry, but is it that God shut their mouths? And in that condemnation, God provided a deliverance. Now, the deliverance that you and I received came at a much higher price. The Lord Jesus Christ had to die to deliver us. He took our sins upon him and gave us his righteousness. Amen? And listen to me. This is the statement right here at the end of the verse. It says, triumphing. In other words, he was victorious. It's just to be in the vernacular and kind of cutesy colloquial. Look, guess what, folks? Jesus wins. Amen. He is the victor. Nobody is ever going to defeat him. Nobody will ever have authority over him. Now, watch me. Sounds to me like that's a pretty good place for us to be, is in him. Amen. After who he is and what he has done. I struggle. I ask myself, am I applying this in my life? You ever have that feeling something's missing? God wants you to know nothing's missing. Just get back in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because in him, there's completeness. In him is anything you need from salvation for all eternity. And it is not found anywhere else. And then back to just a real footnote type of a thought. In Colossians, the trouble is there were people running around teaching some false doctrine, saying you need a little bit more, you need something else. Now that you're saved, now you got to do ABC. I'm not saying God doesn't have expectations for us, but what I am saying is that that is wrong, because once you are in Christ, you have everything you need. And I would hope that God would give us the wisdom to recognize that. Please, please, if nothing else, one simple application. Please, young person, old person, don't go to the world looking for something that you think is missing in Christ. There's nothing like that. Don't go to the world. Don't go to the things in the world thinking that there's satisfaction there that's not in Christ. The Bible makes it very clear in Colossians 2:10. We are complete in him. Amen? Let's all stand, if you would, please.